Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
Satan's a master at taking one little cup of doubt, spreading it out year over your whole view of who God is and what scriptures are, and creates a sense in which, well, I don't know about that.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. In our second and final message from the book of Jude, Pastor Herron shares with us a message entitled, Fighting to Make a Difference.
Jude, who basically gave us a call, this is what I'm calling you to and recognizing this is important. Then he mentions the idea of a clarity, and he kind of clarifies these are all the issues that are going on. He gets to verse 16, look at your Bibles, and he kind of summarizes it in verse 16 by giving descriptions of these people, these creeps, if you would, as he calls it in verse 4, when he says in verse 16, man, these are murmurers, they're complainers, they're walking after their own flesh, their mouth speaks great swelling words, they're having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. In other words, they're saying something just to get what they want. And then he says in verse 17, let me remind you of some things. And in essence, he gives some clear directives for us today and says to them in verse 17, but beloved friends, you're my friend, he's saying. Let me give to you what ultimately what I'm trying to say. And he narrows it into these very four clear directives. First of all, you've got to remember what was said. He said it this way in verse 17, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, first of all, you got to remember. For these apostles, these were ones that really were qualified to speak as we now have that apostles' doctrine documented and we now have as the Bible. It's interesting to note that when somebody offers you a new revelation, you've got to test by what the apostles wrote, by what Jesus Christ taught, and you'll discover that the revelation many times is a lie. And Jude is saying, listen, you better remember what was said by the apostles, and it's not going to cause you to go astray. Let me give you a second clear directive, and that is not only related to what was said, but also remember what to do. He not only then moves to say, listen, this is what they're saying, but notice what he says about remembering what to do. What do I do? How do I end up building discernment? How do I end up avoiding these people that Jude said they are creeping in unawares? They're the alligator on the side, as I mentioned last week, of the river, slipping in very quietly. It's the snake that came through the open window, and now you've got a dangerous creature inside your bedroom. These are what he calls people creeping in. They're creeps. When I was growing up in high school, the word that you didn't want to use, but you would use with people that are greasy-haired people, they're creeps. He's a creep, man. He's a creep. How many of you remember this word? I'm resurrecting this back in vocabulary today. He's a creep, man. Well, that's what he... And now, how do I avoid them? What do I do? Okay, I remember what was said. Now, what do I do? Jude's very clear. This is what you do. And he mentions these four thoughts. Number one, notice if you would, it's very clear in the scriptures. Verse 20, but you, beloved... He says, you got to remember, as you're my dear friends, these are bad people. These are people going to hurt you. Number two, he says, listen, here's what you do. You remember what to do. Beloved, number one, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. As a Christian now, what do? Build yourself up in the holy faith, Jude says. That's what you got to remember to do. And in military terms, he's simply very clearly, verse 20, build yourselves up. Put down Acts 20, 32. Another reference, he said, brethren, I'm commending you to God, the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. What's able to build you up? Yourself? No, the word of God's able to build you up. But you have to exercise your will to do that. I'm working out. Can you tell? Say yes, Pastor. Say yes, Pastor. Man, it made me feel bad. Let me tell you something. I have no excuse. We've got a gym over there now. I went and I played a little basketball for 45 minutes or so. Got my heart rate up. Thought I had an attack. And I got back. Okay. I went in last week and been pushed big time weight. I had to personally go over there and do that. I can't say, Marty, go on over there, work out. I'll meet you back in an hour. It doesn't work that way. I got to go over there. I'm building myself up. I'm not making myself strong. The weights are helping me. Does this make sense to you? I say this because you find some people talking about doctrine that gets off a little bit. Some people think, yeah, you know, just pray and, you know, God's going to do it all. Yeah, he's going to do it all, but he's going to do it all through you and what you decide and choose to do. In other words, as I would state it, exercise yourself by learning God's word. That's how simple he makes it. Psalms 119:28. Strengthen thou me, the psalmist said, according to thy word. But as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively works in you. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. You know what I do? I'm building up discernment. I'm staying away from creeps by building myself up, putting myself in a place. I'm taking in God's word. Number two, I'm praying. He says it, verse 20, verse B, praying in the Holy Ghost. He's not referring here to some unknown language. It's you are praying in the Spirit and you feel the Spirit coming upon you and lifting yourself up to the heavenlies. He's giving you a new language. That did happen in earlier years in the New Testament church in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Paul deals with it, but that was a revelation that God gave before the canon was ever completed in order for man to be able to communicate to another human a known language. It was not any unknown language. If your Bible says unknown language, it's probably in italics, which means it was added by the translators to help you know that that wasn't in the original. It was a known language. That's how God gave the gospel out on Acts 2 at the birth of the church. When Peter preached and people said, these people are drunk. They are. He said, we're not drunk. We're giving you the truth and the languages that were known. You say, does that happen today? Absolutely. Is that what God teaches today? I don't believe so. It's not the things that I'm waiting for new revelation to give to me that I got to deal with. It's the things that already God says in his words that I got to deal with. Forgive one another. Love one another. Don't forsake yourselves or the assembling of yourselves together. Boy, that stuff real clear, and that's hard enough to do, much less some other new revelation. Does this make sense to you? All right. I'm praying in the Spirit by very simply, as one commentator says, and I think he's right, when we acknowledge our weakness, we depend on this Holy Spirit to bridge the gap of knowing what I should pray and what I shouldn't pray, that I have this Spirit that's submissive to God's will, then whatever they may prove to be, whatever that is, we're praying in the Spirit. In other words, God's thoughts will then become our thoughts and his ways our ways. So praying in the Spirit brings both clarity and courage. As one person said, kneeling knees don't knock. I don't have to be fearful and afraid of something when I realize, God, I'm on my knees and allowing you, as I build the holy faith, as I give myself to know Scripture. In other words, I'm keeping close communication with headquarters. And any soldier knows, if you want to know what's going on in the battle, keep close communication with headquarters. If you understand that, you also know, he also mentions in verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. In other words, Paul said in Philippians 2:12, but if you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, to keep yourself in the love of God, or in other words, remain in the place of obedience where God's love can be poured out on you. Keep yourself in a place that's the green zone where you know, if I can say it that way, so you know I'm obeying God, so I know that you will bless me. I want to build myself up in the Scriptures. I want to be able to pray. I want to maintain instant obedience to the initial promptings of God's Spirit. That's what he means. I'm keeping instant obedience to the initial promptings of God's Spirit. If God's Spirit prompts me to do something, God, I want to obey because this is right. I'm going to keep myself right where then you can use me. And that is the third of four ways that he says, this is how you build discernment. This is how you be aware of who those people are that are creeping in unawares. And in addition to that, he says, I'm looking. I'm looking, he says in verse 21, for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and eternal life. He's saying, 1 Thessalonians 5:6, let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch, be sober. Jesus said in chapter 24 of Matthew, watch therefore, you know not what hour your Lord does come. Why is he saying all this? He's saying it because you need to be in a place to remember that you've got to watch vigilantly for the coming commander-in-chief. You have to be aware that there is going to be end of time, an end of your life. And it might end up being today. It could be next week. It could be at the full life somewhere down the road. But somewhere, you've got to realize there is an end. Jesus Christ said, I'm going to come again. I'm going to receive those unto myself. And I have to be aware of that. But what do individuals do today? They come in and I want to create doubt. I want to create a little doubt with you. Are you sure? You got to be kidding me. They're telling you the truth. Yeah, I don't know. You know what? Yeah, he's saying it's the Bible. And some of us are born skeptics, and so I question every single thing. Everything is said. But you have to understand that that's exactly what happens with Satan, and he doesn't want you to get to God's Word. He wants you to try and process yourself and create doubt. The Bureau of Statistics for our government put out, and I don't know who comes up with time to think of all this, but the reality is they did a study. They found a fog bank 100 feet thick, enough to cover 7 blocks of a city, downtown city. And fog, for those of you that we don't have much here, is a very thick, dense blanket that you can't see through. And they condensed all that water down and realized 100-foot-thick fog bank, 7 blocks wide and long. When you boiled it all down or condensed it all down, it equaled 1 cup of water. 1 cup of water. You take 1 little cup of water, you dispense it out, that's what creates a fog. I heard that and I thought, you know, how simple is that? Because reality is that Satan is a master at taking one little cup of doubt, spreading it out year over your whole view of who God is and what scriptures are, and creates a sense in which, well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Some of you that are born again, child of God, have friends, and they really see you, and they know you're different, and something's different, but there's just enough doubt about it all. And that's why Jude is saying, listen, for you as believers, stay yourself and watch vigilantly and realize that doubt is what God wants to use to dispense and be away with, so it doesn't keep you from realizing God wants to use you. Remember what they said. He says, secondly, remember what you do. And thirdly, he says, remember those that need help. And Jude follows through with this. Look, if you would, in your Bibles at Jude verse 22 and 23. He makes the statement in verse 22 and 23 when he says, well, let me read it this way for you. He says, and he mentions these three groups of individuals, to put it in this phrase, but he says verse 22 and 23, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear. And I think a better rendering when he says pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Another way to say that is he identifies, be merciful to those who are doubt, snatch others from the fire and save them, and then to others you show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. What is he talking about there? What he's talking about, Jude's saying, listen, you better remember those that do need help, and he puts them into these three categories. First of all, he says, there are those that are sincere doubters and show compassion to those who are doubting believers.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189. Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.